This is Commander Shepard. You're listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Nerd News Network, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well guys, today is Friday, February 14th, 2014. And well, happy Valentine's Day, happy Masturbating Day, however you want to look at this day, it's still Friday, so it is time to take a look at the week that was in geekdom. Is it going to be exciting? Is it going to be sad? Is it going to be scary? Who knows? I know I sure as hell don't. So anyway, guys, a lot of cool things going on the site this week. Mike and Laura just put up a new episode. We also had the first Rad of 2014 with my co-host Jamie JJ Johnson looking at the Nintendo 3DS's Bravely Default. I know I'll be looking at Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze in the next couple of days, as well as The Last of Us DLC. And I'll probably include this as a news story, just because I can. I'll give you guys a really quick rundown of Dead Rising 3's Untold Stories Fallen Angel DLC, which just dropped earlier this week on the Xbox One. And in a word, it sucks. Well, okay, allow me to back that up a little bit. It's not so much that it sucks, it's just that it's really kind of short and really kind of pointless. There's like 50 achievement points I think you can get for it. Just gotta take a sip of water here, give me a second. OH2O, you are so delicious. But anyway, so you play as this illegally infected survivor. You get achievements for burning down posters that say get chipped. You can get achievement points for collecting 25 med kits. And it's up to you and this other guy called Dougie to help rescue other infected survivors in the city. Interrogate spec ops as to why they're doing this. Though you never really quite find out. You just kind of shoot a bunch of people and wander around. In fact, narratively, this was kind of frankly pointless. I mean, you do get some new guns, most notably those dual machine pistols are pretty badass, and the shock blaster, which combines a defibrillator and an assault rifle. It's fun, it's OP, but whatever. Ultimately, if you didn't get the season's pass for this, you can probably skip this one safely, although odds are you've probably moved past playing Dead Rising 3, and I digress. Anyway, so, what are we going to be looking at this week? Well, we're going to be looking at a surprising reboot I certainly didn't expect to happen. We're also going to look at a scientific milestone involving fusion energy, or nuclear fusion. We're also going to be looking at what happened to McGruff the crime dog to put him behind bars, so to speak. We're also going to be looking at yet another piece of science and how it could destroy the planet. And finally, what's going on in the land of Egypt and pyramids, and what have they found yet? So I guess let's kind of start this off with kind of the fun story. I had this posted on my Facebook wall a couple of days ago, though I'm picking this story up from InitCoolNews.com. It's going to be talking about Chris Pratt as Michael Knight and Danny McBride as Kit in a Knight Rider reboot. So evidently this is being developed over at the Weinstein Company, written by Brad Copeland, the guy that did Wild Hog, Yogi Bear, and a movie called Coffee Town. And well, one of the rumors that's kind of going around about this is they're going to take kind of the 21 Jump Street sort of Land of the Lost route with this and make it a little less serious. I mean, not as serious as the 2008 television series reboot, or as kind of campy as the 80s television show with David Hasselhoff, and who one of our Twig guys and GCRN co-creator Mike Blanchard is a huge boner for this series. Well, I can't say I'm totally against it. I'm looking who Chris Pratt is. You know him from the Lego Movie. He also did Parks and Rec. I guess they want to cast him as sort of Michael Knight and Danny McBride as Kit. I can't say I'm totally against this, actually. It could actually be a lot of fun, all things considered. I would kind of hope they take a poke at it was Owen Wilson and Jack Black, and they wanted to do, I think it was like Heat Rider and Jack or something stupid like that, where they kind of do the stupid buddy cop, and I guess it's buddy car comedy like this. It could actually be really cool, and they could probably have like a cameo with David Hasselhoff and Mr. Feeny as Kit. I mean, all in all, I'm not really against this, actually. And I always thought Kit was a particularly cool vehicle, although admittedly I don't know a whole hell of a lot about the series, so I don't know why he was developed. I know Carr, K-A-R-R, was voiced by, I think that was Optimus Prime, Peter Cullen. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but still, this could be something that could be halfway decent, especially if they did go the less serious route, because 21 Jump Street was a surprising joy when it came out, and Land of the Lost, frankly, it sucked, but I find it as kind of a guilty pleasure kind of movie. I mean, I love water, sorry. I don't know, there's like a dance number in it, and I kind of can never get it out of my head. So, speaking of remakes and reboots that have happened this week, you're probably asking yourself, why the fuck isn't Mike talking about RoboCop? Well, there's a story behind that one. It's not a good one, nor is it a particularly long one. I fell this week, and I cranked my knee pretty good, so I had to stay home on RoboCop Day, which was Wednesday, but my wife is taking me to go see it tonight, so instead of having romance, flowers, and Friday Night Smackdown, we're going to go see RoboCop. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, she's telling me off in the background. It's a love thing. Trust me, you'll understand it someday, kids, when you're married. So moving on to my next story. This one, it popped up on my news feed very late last week, and I want to talk about it because it's just at the edge of my week kind of deadline. And for those of you who remember McGruff the Crime Dog, the guy who said, you know, drugs and guns are no joke, and, you know, all those stupid PSAs you used to see back in the day. Well, this guy, the guy who was the second voice, this John R. Morales, was arrested and has been sentenced to 16 years in prison. He was arrested back in 2011 for speeding. However, when the cops used a drug-sniffing dog, they discovered multiple pot seeds along with diagrams of two indoor pot-growing operations. And after they went to his house, they discovered 1,000 pot plants as well as 9,000 rounds of ammunition, 27 weapons, including a fucking grenade launcher, who he says he was holding it for a friend. In what kind of a world do you just hold a grenade launcher for a friend? I mean, admittedly, if someone handed me a grenade launcher, yeah, I'm going to hold it for you as long as you promise to give me at least several magazines to play with. I mean, just the thought of me with a grenade launcher is just so much goddamn fun. Now, the district court judge who sentenced Mr. Morales had said this. U.S. District Judge Vanessa Gilmore, who told Morales, "Everything I've read about you makes you seem like a scary person." Just the fact that you would have all this stuff, and the guy insisted he was nonviolent with it, is utterly insane. And I always think of this bit. There's this bit done years ago by Robin Williams live at the Metropolitan Opera House, which is something you should really track down. One of the most hilarious things I've ever seen in my life. And when Mr. Williams is describing firearms rights in the U.S., he says at one point, "Hunters have the right to have armor-piercing bullets. What kind of deer has a bulletproof vest?" Now, I ask you, people, and I presume a good majority of you are American that are listening. I'd love to get some actual intelligent response on this. Can you explain to me, logically and with good reason, why a civilian would need to have a grenade launcher? An ordinary schmo, just like you, me, and Dave down the street. Why would I need a grenade launcher? I'm just curious. But hey, maybe I'm not meant to understand. Maybe it's our right to bear arms. Though in that case, where's my Death Star laser and my RoboCop suit? I'm just saying. But hey, McGruff the Crime Dog, I'm sure you're going to have a fun time for the next 16 years. And Lord help us if you get out on good behavior. I can only imagine what's going to happen with that. I also picked up another story this week. I actually forgot to mention this during the intro. So thanks to Arthur, who sent us in this story. And this is going to be something, I don't know if I would so much call it sad, so much so as the circumstances are around. And I just want to kind of do something about this. Now, a couple of weeks ago, a kid, this 11-year-old kid from North Carolina, was bullied. His name was Michael, and I don't want to give out his last name. If you want to look up the story, you can. He was bullied to the point where he tried to commit suicide because he's a brony. And me being a pretty big brony myself, both figuratively and literally, that's complete bullshit. The fact that, you know, it's a long-term solution to a short-term problem. And this tattoo shop in Texas, and I'm actually going to read this story in its entirety just because it is so short. This comes from Fort Bend County, Texas. At Imperial Tattoo on Highway 6, owner Tony Wayne is inking something old that's new again, My Little Pony. I think altogether I've done about 30 of them so far, Wayne told us. The cartoon craze is popular among grown men these days, and they're known as bronies. At this part, the ponies are for a purpose. I just want to show the little kids that we care, said Wayne, and that's all I wanted to do. Specifically, he wants to help one kid named Michael Marones, which is the child I didn't want to name, but there it is. He's the 11-year-old from North Carolina who was bullied for liking My Little Pony. The boy tried to hang himself, and doctors believe he could have permanent brain damage. That's why Jonathan Myers rolled up his pant leg. I think a lot of people in the tattoo community, we know what it's like to be ridiculed and judged, said Myers, so it's definitely touched me in that way. For $20, he got a My Little Pony tattoo, and the money goes to help the Marones family with medical bills and an anti-bullying group, which actually isn't named in the story, unfortunately, or if it is, I can't see it. That's why Jonathan Myers is getting the tattoo. I'm a soon-to-be father, said Myers, and I couldn't help but come and help out the cause. Even Marone's stepdad heard what Imperial Tattoo is doing and reached out to him. I guess he saw a picture of one that I liked, and he said thank you. Wayne explained, he said that things like that are made a little bit easier for him. The fundraiser at Imperial Tattoo runs through till the end of February. I'm actually going to post a link to this story. This is come out of KHOU out of Houston, Texas. So if any of our listeners happen to get a pony tattoo, much like I do, I would love to know. I'd like to know how many inked bronies there are of us out there. Moving away from this sad story to something, I guess, I call it a little bit more uplifting, if you will. Nuclear fusion has hit a milestone. And what that means is, for the first time, fuel for a nuclear fusion reaction has generated more energy than has been put into it. I'm going to read you a little bit about this, just so you completely understand what I'm talking about. For the first time, fuel for a nuclear fission reaction has generated more energy than has been put into it. Scientists and futurists have long dreamed of harnessing the energy of nuclear fusion, which powers the sun here on Earth. An enormous amount of energy is released when multiple atoms collide and fuse to form a new heavier atom, such as hydrogen fusing in the helium. Hydrogen fuel is plentiful in sources such as seawater, and the fusion process generates no radioactive waste, greenhouse gases, or other dangerous byproducts. However, for decades, scientists have been unsuccessful in generating the conditions for making fusion happen on Earth in a controlled manner that would allow it to be used in power plants. Now, researchers at the National Ignition Facility of Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in the U.S. announced that they've managed to use lasers to compress fuel made from two heavier forms of hydrogen enough to kick off a nuclear fusion reaction. And for the first time, the reaction generated more energy than was absorbed by the fuel from the lasers. That's a major turning point in our minds, said Omar Hurricane, lead author of the paper describing the results published in Nature Today. However, he was quick to point out that because the fuel absorbed only a small amount of the energy from the lasers, there's far more energy put into the entire process than comes out. That is partly because the fuel did not reach ignition. At the point, the reaction becomes self-sustaining, and the energy production increases dramatically. Nevertheless, this is closer than anyone's gotten before, Hurricane said at a press briefing organized by Nature. Obviously, this is a huge thing. If we can harness nuclear fusion and control it, like, we could have literally green energy, limitless energy, because there's, like, obviously billions on trillions of liters of seawater out there, and, you know, it would solve a lot of problems. It'll create a bunch of new ones, guaranteed, because, you know, you can't make money from that, not without me, Mr. So-and-so, but still, that's really exciting, the fact that we are pushing those boundaries, and I wonder what this could have for implications of other fields, such as, say, space travel. If you could have a self-generating power plant in any number of these nuclear probes or rovers or anything like that, stuff, you know, that would require a power cell to generate energy in theory for a really long amount of time, if not forever. That's exciting stuff. I mean, imagine if we had one of these power plants on board Voyager 1 or 2. It could be sending us data forever. So that's pretty cool. I'll actually post this link in the show notes as well, so you can see exactly what I am talking about. But still, tremendously cool. And I actually want to send a big thanks out to Jordan. He's a guy I knew from college. He posted this story via Facebook, and that's where I picked up on this one this week. So, to keeping with the whole science thing, from good news to goddamn bad news, this one comes to us from io9.com, and could a juiced-up particle accelerator destroy the Earth? And this is something we hear typically whenever they do anything with the Large Hadron Collider, stuff like that, and it's been a fear for, like, decades when people start talking about this stuff. I remember when I first heard about this in the 90s, they were talking about, well, could it form a black hole, or basically, could it create, like, a runaway nuclear explosion or something like that? So anyway, they're going to be upgrading the Brookhaven's National Laboratory's relativistic, I'm pretty sure I'm screwing that up, Heavy Ion Collider, or the RHIC, and it's about to enter its 15th year of service. And the upgrades are ideally going to create the conditions to produce particle collisions up by a factor of 20. And while operating at a luminosity 18 times greater. Now, the thing is, when they put this thing together, this wasn't considered during its initial risk assessment. So one of the things that they're really, really kind of worried about is things forming. And what these things forming are things known as strangelets and micro black holes. Strangelets are, they're a type of subatomic matter, hypothetical, that's a quark made up of roughly equal number up and down in strange quarks, but it's more stable than an ordinary nuclei. Basically, if this were to start, bad shit's going to happen, as I understand it. Basically, under the right conditions, a runaway chain reaction could happen and would basically create, as been described by Sir Martin Rees, as an inert hyperdense sphere about 100 meters across. That would be bad. And they actually wonder if this could actually happen, and they're actually talking about micro black holes. Now, they have talked about this before, but they say they would evaporate so quickly as to not be able to do anything, and they're so small they couldn't do anything anyway. However, though, I remember I was watching a documentary, I think it was on National Discovery Channel this past week, talking about micro black holes and stuff like that, and if one were to accidentally pass through the Earth or something like that, and it would be, well, very fucking bad. But I can't see this actually happening. Personally, I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of faith in science. I really, really, really do. I mean, I don't believe the gray goo scenario is ever going to happen. I don't believe we have the power to completely destroy a planet. Stuff like this. I mean, I don't know. But I'm going to post you the article from io9, because it does reference several different scientific papers talking about this particle accelerator and how the chances of this actually happening are somewhat higher because the energy being used is somewhat lower as opposed to the Large Hadron Collider as compared to the RHIC's version, because they're doing it at lower energy levels, which could potentially generate these micro black holes or strangelets. So hopefully we're still here when this happens, and you can tell me if this terrible, terrible thing happens, which I really hope not. In fact, I really, really love to know if there's any scientists listening out there, because I'd like to know, A, if I'm getting some of these things right, or B, just to find out more about it. I'm tremendously curious. Moving on to my final story, and this is kind of neat. I actually just picked up the story today. This comes to us from the TorontoStar.com, so yay. Well, over in Cairo, Spanish archaeologists have unearthed a 3,600-year-old mummy in the ancient city of Luxor. And this is according to the Egypt's antiquities minister. Now, along with this, they've also announced that they've accused 9 people, including 3 Germans, of smuggling stone samples from pyramids. So the sarcophagus that they found dates back to 1600 BC, and it comes from the 17th Pharaonic Dynasty. They don't know who it's from because they haven't had much chance. They only unearthed this thing a little while ago. But the sarcophagus is made out of wood. It's engraved with hieroglyphics. It's got bird feathers decorating it and whatnot. And there's an incredibly well-preserved mummy inside. So they're going to take a look and see what this is. One of the other things that they found out when they were accusing the smugglers of stealing stuff, turns out they took stuff from inside the pyramids. They took stone samples because they had permission, these scientists, to go inside the pyramids of Giza. And they actually took parts of the tomb in the burial room of King Khufu. And now how they found out was actually kind of funny. They actually put the stuff online in a form of a documentary. The German researchers wanted to use the samples to prove their hypothesis that the pyramids were built by a people that predate the ancient Egyptians. And, well, I'm not going to say whether that actually happened or not. I don't know. You don't know. You don't steal stuff from the mummy's tomb. I mean, I've seen enough horror movies to know about the mummy's curse and know it ain't a good idea to piss off anything ancient. So anyway, kind of looking further into the story, the Toronto Star describes how Egypt has experienced kind of a security vacuum since the 2011 uprising, which pretty much unfolded on Twitter and Facebook. Thousands of artifacts have been stolen. That's incredibly fascinating and incredibly terrifying at the same time. I say terrifying because, let's face it, we don't know what happened in the ancient world. Do these relics have power? Who knows, right? But just the fact that these things are out there, either in private collections or out on the open market, basically they're not in a museum, they're not preserved in any kind of way, that's terrifying. The fact that we could lose a piece of history essentially forever, but just the fact that stuff is stolen and, like I said, is out there, just, ugh. But anyway, guys, so that's pretty much what happened around the world this week, such as it was. So you got my little bit of a review of Dead Rising 3's DLC and a little bit of thoughts on the bronies doing a little bit of good this week. So hopefully more people from the Houston area will give me a little bit more information. Once again, that's from KHOU.com out of Houston. So I'll post a couple of links from here in the show so you can tell me what's going on. Once again, if you guys have submissions for the show, I would love to read them. It's feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Subject line, nerd news story. And I'll definitely take a look and see what you've been doing. Big thanks to Arthur this week for submitting the story about the brony. Could not have done it without you. And also big thanks to Jordan for posting that story about nuclear fusion. So anyway, guys, I hope you will have a fantastic day. And as I'm often fond of saying, make her call you Dodd.